strong to give me what I'm going through. Well, forgive me if I'm wrong, but this looks like more than I can do on my own.
Happy Easter to you. Good morning, people of the Bridge. Those who have been with us for a long time, those who are new around the world, happy Easter. Welcome to the Bridge at St. Paul's in Muskego. Happy Easter. Welcome to the first Sunday after Easter, the first mini Easter of this church year. I'm going to give a shout out to my public school confirmation class kids. We got Sophia, we have Allie, we have Dom, we have Aiden and Ashton and Evan and the whole crew of 15 that could tell you if they were here that this is the first mini Easter, which is why we as New Testament Christians tend to worship on Sunday, the day our Savior rose. And so happy mini Easter in the season of Easter as we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead, the grave being empty. I am Pastor Nate, privileged to be the host pastor for The Bridge, along with Sally Wallner, who is now in this new time of the life of the Christian church and the world. She is The Bridge host on Facebook, and you can interact with her in the course of the service live in action. So Sally, shout out to you. Thanks for what you're doing from your couch at home. If you are in need of assistance during this COVID-19 pandemic time, or if you feel the need to reach out and help others, Sally Wallner is the connection for us for community response, both within St. Paul's and in the Muskego community, and even beyond. She's willing to help, so feel free to reach out to her. This afternoon, we at St. Paul's are doing a food drive to replenish the shelves of the Muskego food pantry between 1 and 4, so feel free to do a drive-by. with a plastic bag of groceries to drop on the pavement that God's people will pick up and assemble, and the food pantry will come and pick it up at 4 p.m. If you want to say hi to one of the pastors, we're going to be here from 1 until 2:30 as well. But there will be 3 drop-off spots. We'll be around those to say hi. Pastor Pete, well, he's just driving through. So come and say hi to him in person, but 6 feet at the closest this afternoon. Connect with us online, Facebook, Instagram, all of those social media parts of our world these days. Connect with us for things like prayer requests, needs again that you may have, but reach out to us. We'll reach out to you. If Jesus lives, if the grave is empty, then that is the theme for our worship throughout this Easter season through about May 17th. If Jesus lives, then how has that changed our world? How does it change me? How has it changed you? How has it changed our walk with God? Pastor Pete is bringing our message. He won't drive by for that. He'll stand for you. He's bringing the message from God's Word today. If Jesus lives, then we have hope. And Mike Wessendorf is leading the crew, those of us who are in-house today, to bring God's Word to you in word and song. As we are worshiping today, please be mindful again of the offering that we need to gather through our website. You can go on the website to give, or you can text to give, and instructions are there. You can also do old school and mail it to us, the address on the screen, but also on the website. It is the offering of God's people that continues to drive this ministry forward, the preaching of the good news of Jesus in a time of darkness for our world, but a time still filled with hope. You can connect with any of the pastors by calling the church office and leaving a voicemail for one of us. It comes right to our email, and we can get back to you very quickly. So catch those numbers on the screen again as we are rolling through worship. Pastor Pete's connecting with us every day with the daily devotion online. Watch for that email, click on the link, and he will tap into us and in with the Word of God each and every day. And of course, every Sunday, The Bridge Live, 10:15. Join us next week as we go through this series, If Jesus Lives, Then. God's blessings on our time together today. To him be the glory. The joy of our hearts, let us worship and praise our Savior King, the good news message of salvation, now and always.
Morning, Bridge. Hey, I love it. Welcome to everybody online. We've got a few of our hosts on the Bridge Facebook page if you're over there today. Sally Walmer, Jill Dunbar will be shouting out hi. So make sure that you guys connect with each other where you guys can online. What a great opportunity to be with you, literally from all over the country. Last week we had 20 different states checking in. So if you're from somebody out there, let us know where you're listening in from. Say hi on Facebook if you're there. It's a great place for you to be able to connect to us. But you know, worship is still what worship is. It's God coming to us in his word, and his people respond. So we come gathered together in the name of Jesus, the risen and reigning King over sin, death, and hell, and who's the one who's given us that victory. We're in the Easter season, and every Easter Sunday here in our message series, we're going to begin with a hymn of faith in the Easter season that the church has sung sometimes for hundreds of years. So we're going to be starting with a song that you may know called Welcome Happy Morning. So if you haven't said good morning to the people who are sitting around you, say good morning. I love it. From 6 feet away, thank you. This is Welcome Happy Morning. The lyrics will be on your screen. We invite you guys to participate and sing and join in. Welcome happy morning, H2HSA. Hell today is vanquished, heaven is won today. Though the dead is living, God forevermore. Him their true creator, all his works adore. We sing together, well.
is one today.
If you're worshiping online too and you're interactive, you know, you can put hands together or just give us an amen. Amen basically just says, I agree, I agree. So shall it be. It is an exclamation point to the prayers that we have in faith. You know, as we sing our next song, My Victory. One of the thoughts that I just wanted to share with you guys is we're in this resurrection season. When the enemy comes, we know that God has raised his son to life. We celebrated Easter. And yet there is news in our life that makes it hard to walk in that. And one of the things that I'm reminded about so many times in the Psalms, that the psalmist talks about the hard things that are happening in their lives, both individually and as a nation. And yet so often it comes back to the praise of God. To be able to center ourselves and our minds and our hearts on what is right and true. And so just an encouragement that if you haven't been joining us maybe in the Bible readings that Pastor Pete has been leading us on, to just maybe sign up for that on the email. We'd love to be able to connect you to that. But if you haven't dusted off the Bible in a long time, there's something about being able to read God's word that no sermon can preach, no song can sing. And God just speaking to you directly. And our response to that then oftentimes can become, even though it's hard, a shout of praise in the midst of people dying, in the midst of tremendous loss and isolation. We are reminded that Jesus has given us the victory, and we have no fear. I'd love to have you guys sing along.
Criminals and every Pharisee, you came for him.
held into your hand. Oh, your love went for me. Oh, your blood embraced the stream. Oh, your death is hell's defeat. The cross meant to kill.
God be praised.
Amen, amen.
You know, I'm going to highlight a few of our announcements. I'm Pastor Nate, privileged to be the host of The Bridge each and every week, almost, and privileged to be here with you today, and we want to highlight some of our announcements because my guess is just as we are multitasking here at The Bridge, I'm the clicker guy today for the music and everything and doing the announcing. My guess is at home, some of you are still trying to wrap up some online homeschooling. Maybe you're taking a Sabbath rest, hopefully today, from all of that and the change in your pattern, the change in your household. But welcome again to The Bridge. Welcome to our time together under the theme, If Jesus Lives Then. I am Pastor Nate, again privileged to host today with Sally Wallner on Facebook, so feel free to interact with her in the course of the hour. Especially if you are feeling the need to reach out to our community or you have a need as part of our community, Sally's the go-to person, the connection. So go to the website, stpaulsmuskego.org. This afternoon, we are hosting a food drive here at St. Paul's to replenish the shelves of the Muskego Food Pantry. Do a drive-by between 1 and 4. Put your food, your non-perishable foods into plastic bags. You'll set them down on the asphalt. You'll drive on waving to people. And the food pantry will come and pick it all up at 4 o'clock after our volunteers have assembled it all. So 1 until 4. If you feel the need to say hi to a pastor, we'll be here from 1 till 2:30, if that matters to you. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, through the website. Give us your prayer requests. Give us your thoughts, how we can reach out and help you, and how you can serve us as well. But prayer requests especially, send them our way. And as always, remember the offering. Part of our worship is God's people. But the offering of God's people is the way God is using us as people to fuel the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ, the sharing of the good news of salvation through St. Paul's and the Bridge. You can give through our website, texting to give, or giving online directly there. You can also, old school, the way I still like to do things at times, offering by mail. Again, the address on the screen, but also on our website. Throughout the week, feel free to call the church office. You can leave a voicemail for any of us pastors. That voicemail goes directly to the inbox of our email. We can listen to your voice and connect with you pretty instantaneously. Throughout the week, Pastor Pete continues to bring us the Word of God, feeding us daily through the online video devotions. So watch for his email, click on the link, and listen along with the rest of God's people. Our Easter message series through May 17th, If Then. If Jesus lives, then how has that changed our world? How has it changed you and me? How has it changed the walk of the Christian? Today, Pastor Pete is our message bringer. If Jesus lives, then we have hope. Mike is leading the crew, bringing the music. Let's bring our praise to our Savior God. Let us worship to the glory of his name.
Talking about a living hope today. That's where Pastor Pete's going to help steer our minds through the words of the Apostle Peter, a man in the Bible who walked with Jesus for much of three years while Jesus was in his ministry. Peter was a big part of it, and then beyond that, into his years, he saw a lot. And he saw times where there was no hope, and he saw God turn it all around. And so in Easter, we celebrate hope. But we're this side of eternity. We're this side of heaven. And on this side of heaven, it oftentimes just looks way worse than hope. Sometimes my hope can become an idol when I make it about my expectations of this world. Christ has given us something far more than anything that this world can give. It helps us be able to sing this song with faith that believes it's true. As I walk this great unknown, questions come and questions go. Was there purpose for the pain? Did I cry these tears in vain? Okay to ask that question. I don't want to live in fear. I want to trust that you are near. Trust your grace can be seen in both triumph and tragedy. I have this hope in the depths of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you are with me and you won't let go. But sometimes my faith feels thin, amen, like this night will never end. Will you catch every tear, or will you just leave me here? I have this hope in the depths of my depths of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you are with me and you won't let go. sing. Oh.
Whatever happens, I will not be afraid.
Oh, no.
'Cause you are closer than this breath that I take.
Yeah, 'cause you gave it to us. Amen. Calm.
You calm the storm when I hear you call my name. I still believe that one day I'll see your face. I have this hope in the depths of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you are with me. I have this hope in the depths of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you are with me. You won't let go. In the flood or
my dear brothers and sisters, scattered all over the Milwaukee area, and by God's grace, through technology, all over our country, literally all over the world, it is hard to be a scattered church right now, isn't it? But we are not the first scattered church. The church has been scattered over the centuries by persecution, by pandemics far worse than COVID-19, and simply by insurmountable distances. In fact, over this next season of the church year, the Easter season, we are going to look at a letter that is written to a church that is scattered all over what is today Turkey. And in this lesson, in this series, we are going to be looking at the whole concept of if Jesus has risen, then there are huge changes in our lives. And before I look at the first lesson from 1 Peter chapter 1, and you might want to be grabbing your Bible if you have a Bible handy, 1 Peter chapter 1. The title of our message series is If Then. If Jesus has risen, then. And I should just explain that in the mind and in the heart of the author of our text for today, there is not a question after that if.
There was no question in the Apostle Peter's mind that Jesus had risen. Peter had been there on Thursday evening when, in Caiaphas's courtyard, Jesus was condemned by the Sanhedrin. Peter had been there early Easter morning, one of the first to run on out to the tomb, the first of the apostles to duck into the empty tomb, and he saw the linen lying nicely, and he recognized this is not the work of a tomb raider. Peter was there someplace in Jerusalem on Easter Sunday afternoon when Jesus appeared to him personally, privately, to reassure him. Peter was there on Easter Sunday evening when Jesus appeared to all the apostles, and he said, "Touch me and see, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have." Peter was there a week later when Jesus again appeared to the disciples and also to doubting Thomas. And Jesus said to Thomas, but also to Peter and all the other apostles, "Stop doubting and believe. Put your finger here. Put it into my nail holes. Put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Peter was there along the Sea of Galilee for an early morning breakfast when Jesus reinstated him as an apostle. "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." And then let Peter know that he would someday die for the Savior, just as he claimed he would have on Monday, Thursday evening. You see, there was no question in Peter's mind. He was an eyewitness. He knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. And as he writes this letter to people who were not eyewitnesses, people like us, he not only testifies to the resurrection of Christ, but through this letter, he explains, what difference does it make to you and me if Jesus has risen from the dead? And today, let's celebrate the fact that if Jesus has risen from the dead, then we as a scattered church live in hope. So join with me and follow along. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the ancient letters always began with the author of the letter, to God's elect, exile scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance was kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We, as God's scattered church and in a brand new way, live in hope. a hope that unifies us even though we are scattered. That's what Peter brings out as he begins this letter to the scattered church in what is today Turkey. He says, we have three things in common that unify us. We are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We are sanctified by the same Spirit, and we are sprinkled by the same Son of God. Now, first he says that we have been chosen, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, the whole concept of foreknowledge is kind of interesting. I have certainly learned in a new way that I do not have foreknowledge. It was 6 weeks ago that I read that the counties in the San Francisco area were going on a complete lockdown. I could not have foreseen 6 weeks ago that that's just a fact of life for us all now. If I had foreknowledge, I would have withdrawn all of my retirement savings from the stock market on February 12th when the Dow Jones was 29,500 and some. Not that I checked. I don't have foreknowledge. Neither do you, right? But the whole idea of the foreknowledge of God, there's a part of us that just gets angry when we think about that God has foreknowledge. He sees in the things in advance. He knows the future. When we hear about that, there's a part of us, this sinful nature, that wants to just stand in judgment over God. If you had foreknowledge, then God, why did you blow it? That's what I think when I think about the Garden of Eden. God, why didn't you step in? If you knew that Satan was going to tempt Adam and Eve, why didn't you step in and stop it? And I wonder, God, if you knew all things, why didn't you step in and stop it when that virus jumped from an animal to a human being for the first time? God's foreknowledge is not revealed to us so that we can understand everything that God has done in his foreknowledge. God's foreknowledge is revealed to us to comfort us. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. What Peter wants us to know is we are so infinitely precious to our Father in heaven that before the creation of the world, I know that date from Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul says that before the creation of the world, we were chosen in Christ. So before the creation of the world, God the Father knew you and chose you to be his child. And because he chose you, he called you to faith. I know that from Romans chapter 8, verses 8 to 20, 8 verses 28 to 30, where God reveals his plan that includes knowing us in advance, deciding in advance that we're going to be his, calling us to faith, and ultimately taking us to glory. And when you and I know that we are God's elect, God's chosen, before the creation of the world, Jesus, as he talks about the end of the world, talks about us as elect to reassure us that our God is ruling all things to protect us, his chosen one. When we think about the foreknowledge of God and in arrogance and want to stand in judgment over God, we lose the comfort that God the Father wants to give us. Let's not try to understand everything about him. Let's just celebrate. You and I have this in common. We have been chosen by the foreknowledge of our common Father in heaven. And because we have been chosen, we have been sanctified by the same Spirit. Sanctify is the idea of being set apart for holy use. It takes me back to the Old Testament, where the high priest would wear a turban on his head, and on the front of that turban would be a little placard that said, "Holy to the Lord, set apart for a holy purpose." And I rejoice in the fact that the Apostle Peter is the one who says in his second chapter of this letter that we are a royal priesthood. We are all priests. We are all set apart for a holy purpose by the work of the Holy Spirit. Even though we are scattered, we have the priesthood. The priesthood is the joy of bringing what we know about our Savior God to the rest of the world. Now, I'm thankful that we are a scattered church, because how many people are hearing about the love of God because you are sharing this message in ways that you wouldn't have before? With your family, perhaps, sitting together in the living room, or on Facebook sharing this message, and your Facebook friends are watching too. We've been sanctified by the same Spirit for obedience to Christ and sprinkling by His blood. This also takes me back to the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 24, when Moses ratifies the old covenant at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, God has Moses sacrifice an animal, and he takes that blood and he sprinkles it on the people. We have been chosen by the same Father, set apart for a holy purpose by the same Spirit, so that we might be obedient to Jesus. What does obedience mean? The literal word for obedience in Greek is to listen under, to listen in submission. What greater obedience can you and I offer to our God than to listen in submission to the old covenant, the Ten Commandments that convict us of sin, and then to celebrate that the blood of the Lamb of God has been sprinkled on us? Peter says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." Isn't that true? We have this unifying hope, chosen by the Father, sanctified by the same Spirit, sprinkled by the same Son. And then he says that we have been given birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Not only do we have a unifying hope, you and I have a living hope. He says it's an inheritance. I love that word. What do you do to get an inheritance? Generally speaking, you don't do anything to get an inheritance. Somebody just loves you enough to include you in their last will and testament. You and I have a living hope as an inheritance because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has loved us enough to include us in His last will and testament. And Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee that it's ours. It is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Every hope that I know of perishes, spoils, or fades. Here in Wisconsin on Thursday afternoon, I think an awful lot of high school seniors, college seniors, their hopes perish for graduation ceremonies and end-of-the-year festivities. As Governor Evers said, nope, school's not going to come back. Hope perishes. Hope spoils. I'm getting close to retirement. I think there's an awful lot of people my age that, you know, this whole stock market reaction is spoiling some of our hopes for retirement. And hope fades. For those of you who were in school on March 13th, Friday afternoon, and you heard that there was not going to be school the next Monday, you wouldn't have to come back to school, your hope skyrocketed. But in the meantime, after about a month, you're kind of going, this is getting old, and hopes fade. It's not nearly as much fun as we might think. You see, that's what hope does in this world. In fact, I can't even begin to understand what this living hope that is kept in heaven for us is going to be like. Because every hope that I have is a dying hope. It perishes, spoils, and fades. But our God promises that because Jesus has risen from the dead, you and I have a hope that will never die. And it is kept in heaven for us. It is absolutely safe, like the gold in Fort Knox. It is kept safe. Satan can't destroy it. Our death can't destroy it. All the troubles that we go through in this life can't destroy it. It is kept for us, safe in heaven. We have a living hope. But there is a problem. There is a weak link in the chain. There's something that will put that hope that's kept for us in heaven in question, and that's us. We are the weak link. How strong is our faith? Are we going to endure whatever trials come to us? The Apostle Peter assures us we have an enduring hope. He writes, "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Shielded by God's power. Do you think the Apostle Peter used that term lightly? God's power. Did Peter have any idea what God's power could do? I think he did. Yeah, Peter was there when Jesus took some loaves of bread and just kept on breaking them, and pretty soon he'd fed 5,000 men and women and children in addition. Peter was there when the disciples were filled with fear, and all Jesus had to do was get up in the boat and say, "Quiet, be still," and the storm stopped. Peter was there when Jesus stands outside a tomb and says, "Lazarus, come out!" And out comes this man who had been dead 4 days, wrapped up in grave clothes. And yes, Peter was there to see that his Savior was alive. I think Peter had a pretty good idea of what God's power could do. And the Holy Spirit inspired him to make this statement, that you and I are kept by the power of our God. Yes, on our own, we are the weak link in this connection. We can lose our hope. The Apostle Paul warns us, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. But immediately after that warning in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, "But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He'll make a way out so that you can stand up under it." God is faithful. He will shield you by His power. And so when trials come, Peter talks about that. He says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Let's not be surprised that trials and troubles come into our lives. This is what our Savior has told us would happen. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. But then Peter makes this statement that can encourage us so much, that if we have this hope that endures in the face of trials, whatever you are going through, Peter writes, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When trials come, God is glorified in the lives of his people. You know, at the beginning of Job's book, we're told that Satan accused Job of being a fair-weather Christian. Everything is going his way. It's easy for him to be a believer. Well, Satan's not the only one making that accusation. There are people all around us who are watching our lives as Christians, and very often they will look at our lives and say, well, everything's going great for you, so it's easy for you to be a believer. We don't understand everything that our God does because of his foreknowledge, but one thing he has revealed to us in this text is that he uses trials and troubles so that the genuineness of our faith is revealed to us, but especially to the people around us. I think of a dear friend of mine whose son is just been diagnosed with COVID-19. He lives by himself. He lives in another state. Hard to hold on. What a privilege to encourage her and to see her faith hold on as she, as a mom, is suffering with her child that she can't be there. And how many times is that multiplied? But when these trials come, and our God, by his power, preserves us in our faith, because there's no place else to go. We're going to hold on to you, Lord. We don't understand, but we're going to hold on to you because you have chosen us. You've sanctified us. You sprinkled us by your blood. We're going to hold on. When God, by his power, keeps us in that faith, he gets the glory and honor. People will see the genuineness of our faith. You and I, we have a faith that unifies us, a faith that is a living faith and a faith that endures suffering, a hope that will never die. And so Peter ends this section by saying, though you have not seen him, you love him. You see, Peter's writing to people just like us. We aren't eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. We carefully study the eyewitness accounts. That was true of Peter's first readers. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You and I already have the end result of our faith. You and I already have a hope that endures, a living hope, a hope that unites us not just with each other, but with our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it fills us with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And so, it's my prayer as you study this letter from 1 Peter, this letter of 1 Peter, over the next few weeks, that you appreciate how this hope continues to change you and how this hope will show itself in your daily lives in this new COVID-19 world. Because if Jesus has risen, and again, in Peter's mind, there was no question about that, then everything is different. Then we, as God's scattered church, have a hope that will never end. Let's pray. Father, Holy Spirit, God the Son, we thank you for working together so marvelously, so closely, that you have brought us into your family. And because of that, we have a hope that can endure sufferings. And so we join with the scattered church all over the world, joining together in prayer for those who are especially struggling in the midst of this pandemic. We pray for our healthcare workers, that you would give them wisdom to know how to treat patients, how to protect patients, how to protect themselves. We pray that you would not only keep them healthy, but also their families. We pray for our nation, our elected leaders who are trying to make difficult decisions to know how best to battle this unseen enemy. We pray for those who mourn. Our hearts especially go out to those who have lost loved ones over these last couple of weeks, and they could be there. Comfort them with that marvelous promise that as their loved ones walked through the valley of the shadow of death, their loved ones were not alone. That you were with them, and your rod and staff could comfort them, even though family members couldn't be there. Lord, if it's your will that this disease would take our lives, or the lives of those we love, we know that we have a living hope, that you have kept something in heaven for us. And that's the ultimate inheritance that you want. And so, if it be your will to call us home, then your name be praised. And we'll all just stand celebrating before your throne there then. We place all of our fears, all of our concerns into your hands. Our hope, our faith is not perfect. And so use your power to guard and protect us. Preserve us in the faith. Preserve those whom we love in the faith. Use us as a scattered church to be that sanctifying power in the world around us, so that more people are united with us in a living and enduring hope. And in Jesus' name we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we close our time together, how do you respond? How do we respond? God's word comes to us, and his people respond. That's the heartbeat of worship. So we revel and we joy in the promise that he has given us. We're going to sing a song called Amen Because He Lives. Matt Maher wrote it, sung it here a number of times, and it's so fitting for us to be able to share it here today. If you're at home, would you mind standing just like you are here at the Bridge in a room full of other people that we join our voices together?
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Say,
thank you for what you've done. Help us to live in this faith, this Easter resurrection, so that we can say with confidence, Amen, Lord, quickly come. Let this be our song. Let's sing that refrain. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because he I'm alive because he lives.
Once again, thank you for joining us here at the Bridge at St. Paul's. On behalf of all God's people who are gathered, I want to thank the Holy Spirit of God for bringing us an amazing message from the heart of God. Pastor Pete for bringing us an amazing message from the Spirit's words. And let us thank our Lord Jesus Christ for rising from the dead and giving us the meat and the heart of a message that because he lives, because he is risen, where our lives are different and we have real hope. So thank you to God and to our Jesus. If you are so inclined to help St. Paul's make our faith authentic and visible to the world of our community, then join us for the food drive this afternoon between 1 and 4, as together we replenish the shelves of the Muskego Food Pantry and take care of the people of our community. Connect with us online through Facebook and Instagram and through our webpage. Give us your prayer requests. Give us your thoughts. Give us your hurts, your pains, your joys, and let us rejoice and pray together with you. And please remember to support the ministry of the Bridge at St. Paul's as together we take the good news message of Jesus to our world. Go online, find out how to text to give, give online, or the address to mail in your offering. And throughout the week, remember to connect with God through St. Paul's and through the devotion of Pastor Pete, the video links being sent to us day after day. And remember to join us again next Sunday at 10:15 for the Bridge Live as we continue our message together this Easter season. If Jesus has risen, then come back next week and see what the message and hear the message the Spirit has to give us through Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. God bless your week. God bless the journey. And may we always together live in hope. Thanks for being with us.